nothing is more expensive than bad information. Know the source. OneRadioNetwork.com.
Okay, here we go. A very pleasant good morning to you. This is Patrick Timpone, just having a little bit of an issue connecting up here with our first guest. And really cool guy coming up in a little while, Dr. Roby Mitchell. Dr. Roby Mitchell, he gave up his medical license in 2005. He said, this whole thing is so screwy and messed up, and I don't even care anymore, so I'm just going to give it back to you. And really fascinating resume. Wow, worked with Dr. Jonathan Wright over many years. He's worked in the ER room. He has... cardiovascular guy for a lot of years, a lot of different awards, been around a long time. Dr. Roby Mitchell, he's going to be here in a little while, and he's up in the Dallas area. I think you're going to find him fascinating. We're going to spend a few minutes with a young fellow that thought it'd be fun to talk to a younger sort. He's probably one of the youngest guys we've had on. Not that that matters, because age is just an optical collusion anyway. But he's an interesting guy, and he's really into light, and we like to talk about light, and we've been having a little bit of an issue getting set up here. Matt, can you hear me?
Yeah. Are you all right?
I'm sorry?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, pretty well. Get you a little bit closer, Matt, if you can, to the microphone, if you can just kind of get me a little bit closer there.
Absolutely. I believe I'm...
Attaboy. No, that's good. That sounds good. Yeah, where are you calling from right now? Where are you located?
I am currently in Cancun, Mexico. I just came here for actually some experimentation with light.
Really, Cancun? Wow, that's a beautiful spot. So tell folks, you have your own company, and you're just a kid, a 20, and at 14, you just really went through some stuff, and you just went on an excursion that young to try to find out how to get well.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. I was 14 years old. I was just actually having breakouts of acne that were really just not pleasant as a high schooler who wanted to, be looking great, feeling great, and all this stuff. And so I started looking at diets to try to solve this issue in my skin. And then what happened was, when I reached the when I did the paleo diet, which, removes processed foods and all these things from our diet, I actually started having improvements, not just in my skin, but in these health issues that people never told me I could actually improve, including allergies, gut issues, headaches, and that whole deal. And so I was immediately sold that there's this whole world of knowledge out there that we're just not told about, essentially,
right,
that I had to know about. And so I started diving deeper, trying to figure out how I could dial things in. And eventually, when the diet didn't bring me the results that I kind of felt like there was always a next level, because I was still having some allergy symptoms and stuff. The biggest issues that disappeared for me were headaches, gut issues, and allergies, food allergies, and, or I should say, not food allergies quite as much, quite as quickly, but pollen allergies very
quickly. This is when you were still 14 or 14, 15 in that range,
yeah,
when you're going
exactly
through it?
Yeah.
What kind of gut issues were you? By the way, is it Maruca? Is that how you say it?
Maruca, yeah.
Maruca, cool. What nationality is that, Maruca?
That is Italian.
Italian, that's a nice boy. It's a, cool. So what kind of gut issues were you having at 14, 15, 16 in high school?
Yeah, so now I know it was some form of either celiac disease or celiac gluten intolerance. Every time I would eat, I would basically have really bad gas and bloating. Uh-huh. And of course, it was, now I know it actually had a lot more to do with the consumption of gluten triggering my immune system. But then I had no idea. So I just thought it was just something that I had to just try to figure out bit by bit. If I had removed all the gluten, I might have actually improved my symptoms then more than I did, because it took me a longer time to get around to realizing that that was sort of the trigger. But the cool thing was that because I didn't realize that that was the trigger, triggering this issue, I was forced to continue to pursue the root cause. In other words, why is my immune system so out of whack that this harmless gluten protein, which really, I mean, it's not like a killer bacteria, which is what the body was sort of identifying it as. It might not be the healthiest food, but it's not killer bacteria. My body's treating it almost like it is something like that. It's getting really, thankfully I didn't have anaphylactic shock or something like that, like certain people do with peanuts, but it wasn't a pleasant experience.
Where were you in high school, Matt, when this was going on? What city?
So I was in Philadelphia, which is my home, my home originally, where I was born and raised.
And what were mom and dad, what were their role in this whole thing when it was going on?
It's a really good question. I honestly was just doing my thing, and my parents were, my mom and dad, they're separated. So, I was mostly with my mom.
Yeah.
And then basically she just was supportive. She had already tried to take me to a gastroenterologist and an allergist and a regular doctor and even a naturopath to try to help me to improve the issues that I was dealing with, but really there just wasn't much improvement to be had, to be honest.
Sure. So what was it for you, at that age, how did it just come to you that there was something better and more information, the truth, so to speak, if you just dug into it? I mean, that doesn't happen very often with 14-year-olds.
I was just not willing to accept that I had to struggle and suffer, it's just one of those things where it's like, how could I possibly accept that was my fate?
Right.
And so it just became a sort of no-brainer that I had to pursue this. So, I just literally, as a person who has grown up in the digital age, the internet really is a blessing, because instead of trying to, seep through, sort through decades of, centuries of research in a library, I could go on the internet and find not only syntheses of research, but I could also find people like these mentors who I ended up connecting with, who could actually show me this research from their own perspectives, people who had really taken time. Like, first it was these paleo diet authors who I had learned from, and then I learned from a neurosurgeon down in the Gulf area named Dr. Jack Kruse, who's sort of pioneering.
Sure. Yeah, well, Jack, he's been on the show. Yeah.
He has. Okay, great. Well, so yeah, I was basically learning from him, and my whole mission has ended up becoming how to bring the biologic effects of light and its relevance to, a broader audience in a way that doesn't necessarily that people can really relate to, what I mean? And I think sometimes people have a harder time relating to Jack because, he's worked neurosurgery his whole life, so he still has, for example, he's still a bit overweight, and that is something that, he argues it could potentially even be a biologic benefit. If you look at like super centenarians, people who are living really long, they usually aren't skinny. They usually begin to put on some extra subcutaneous fat, around their 70s, 80s. Like even the world's oldest woman, she wasn't skinny, but that isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's just that we have that idea that we have to be skinny, and if we're not, then we're not healthy. But anyway, still, people have a tough time, considering that and entertaining that thought. So if I come along and I'm young and fit people, I think, are much more receptive to this message.
Yeah, well, Jack is a handful, but you know, he's a fascinating guy, Matt, as you know, and he's really a well-researched guy, and he does go off on the tangents pretty, you know, with the cold and the light and all of that. But there, you know, it's fun to have people, different people around the world doing, you know, fun different things and coming out with you know, with their idea of how to, you know, how to live longer without getting sick. But I heard that he actually even moved to down to the coast because he wanted to eat more fish or something like that. Is that true?
Yeah. Can you hear me all right now? Just checking in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Great. So the reason he went down to the coast was, yes, more seafood consumption, but primarily to go down to a lower latitude where the light would be stronger.
Oh, that'll be.
So, yeah, the way that the whole thing kind of dovetails together was, you know, I had gone into these diets with that sort of drive that you had sort of asked about, trying to find an answer. And when I had maybe 75% improvement with my gut issues, headaches, and allergies, and you know, I thought that I was basically cured just because the sure. improvement from eliminating the processed foods was so significant so quickly. But sure enough, I was still having certain allergy symptoms, things where I was just thinking to myself at this point, based on the research that I had come across, I can definitely fix this too. So what I did is I went on to these, you're familiar with the autoimmune protocol,
of
right?
Of course. Yeah.
So I was on the autoimmune protocol, and then I was on the GAPS diet. And,
oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, so, and this was when I was 14, 15. Huh. So it was really, like, stressful for me because I felt so limited, and I was trying to fix these issues using food. What I didn't know, and I only learned it when I met Dr. Cruz or learned about his work and then met him, was that these issues I was struggling with were actually mitochondrial in origin, and that the real main factor driving this mitochondrial dysfunction was and is still this transition that we've made to an indoor lifestyle. And so, in other words, that change that we've made as humans now is so significant. It has such significant consequences on our health, our brain function, the function of our mitochondria, and therefore every tissue and cell and organ system and the whole body, our consciousness and everything. And that food, you know, changing our food isn't able to undo the negative effects of that transition. So even if we eat the most perfect clean diet ever, but we're living an indoor lifestyle, we're still missing key, essentially, nutrients, which are certain frequencies from the sun that do things like make vitamin D, set our circadian rhythm every day, help us to create melatonin and serotonin and dopamine and our sex hormones and pretty much like every hormone and neurotransmitter in the body is in some way related to our circadian rhythm and has some level of daily fluctuation. Like there's very few processes in the body that are stagnant. They all fluctuate with our circadian rhythm, the 24-hour cycle, which is set by light. So if one can imagine what kind of damage it could do to disrupt that cycle, it's very, very severe. And it seems so simple because it's easy as allowing blue frequencies or blue wavelengths of light to shine through the eye at night when they're not supposed to. When, you know, we're supposed to be exposed to either just firelight, which doesn't have any of these blue wavelengths that the sun has in the morning that wake us up, or just to be in darkness is how we're, you know, we lived a long time, fire or even torches or gas lamps, but we didn't have electric light bulbs. And even when we did, we had burning incandescent bulbs, which were, in other words, they used a filament that sort of burned to some level, and they had still very low amounts of blue light. But it wasn't until we started using mercury vapor in fluorescent tubes and then LEDs, and even with the LED, it took them a long time to be able to make the blue LED because it's such a high energy wavelength, and it was like the hardest LED for them to create for physical reasons. And once that was created, it sort of like opened up the gates to, I guess you could say, to hell on earth with as far as our biology is concerned, because never before were we able to really undo the circadian rhythm and all of its processes to such a significant extent. But now it's like a real big issue. And we're beings of light. And so, you know, it's just one can consider that before 1879 and the light bulb, and even before the, you know, more recent decades when these newer lighting systems have come out, we weren't able to disrupt certain processes in our body. Like no matter what we did, we really couldn't. You know, we could poison ourselves, so we could, you know, we could kill ourselves and hurt ourselves and damage our biology in certain ways. But one thing we really just couldn't undo or couldn't damage was our circadian rhythm, unless we were sequestered in a dungeon, in which case, you know, it's well known that those people would just rot, basically. You know, right. They would lose their vitality. Yeah,
I'm wondering if it seems though that there must be a way, Matt, that, and I hear what you're saying, and I well said, and I think you know, there's very key ingredients to everything you're saying, but you know, I'm thinking too that there must be some mechanism within the genetics and epigenetics to that we are adapting somewhat to this. Otherwise, most people would just be just kind of dead, you know. But I guess the argument is that most people are kind of sick anyway.
Yeah, you know, whatever. Around, you know?
I just thought of that. I guess most people are kind of sick. Yeah, I guess if so. The blue light.
That's
thing,
exactly it, though.
Yeah.
Just to be clear on that, there is a mechanism, and it is what our bodies are using right now. And the result of that we're seeing is what we call disease. But it's actually just our body attempting to find solutions,
right,
because the increased reactive oxygen species that are being generated by the result of the decreased mitochondrial energy generation, that ROS, it mutates the mitochondrial genes, which is sort of our natural systems for attempting to find a solution. But in doing so, the dysfunction that's occurring in the meanwhile, you know, these different diseases that we're facing are, one could argue, the body's attempt to find a solution.
Just to figure it out, yeah. And well, most people are sick. So we get this blue light then, Matt, from, I guess, well, we get it from LEDs, certainly fluorescence, and then computers, TV screens, right, everywhere?
Yeah, every light now, essentially, again, except like the old school incandescent bulbs,
right,
or Edison bulbs,
right,
those have very low amounts of blue,
right,
blue light. And they also don't have, in general, they have no flicker in the light, which, you know, is this result of having bulbs plugged into our alternating current power grid. These bulbs can have this flicker that really can disrupt the brain's processes, because it's just like a chronic on and off that we can't visually see. But anyhow, so yes, screen devices are probably the worst offenders now, just because we carry, you know, the almost like a TV in our pocket, essentially. You know, adults when today maybe grew up where they would watch TV, but you couldn't carry the TV with you every time you went out, everywhere you went, and look at it. I mean, most people on average look at their phone hundreds of times in a day.
Right. Does the research show, Matt, that the blue light during the day has a negative effect on the body? Like, you know, right now, noon, 10?
Yes. So actually, not as much as at night.
As at night.
The issue would be, for example, if someone works in an office building, there is research on this. Someone works in an office building or attends a school. If someone has this, you know, and they're sitting under fluorescent bulbs all day long, mm-hmm, this still is really affecting health for two reasons. Okay. One, because the body is under fluorescent lighting, which is, you know, it has this flickering issue. Mm-hmm. The spectrum is totally distorted compared to full spectrum natural sunlight. Mm-hmm. And the other reason, which is part of the same reason, is that the lights that one is under during a day in that kind of place is lacking in ultraviolet and infrared wavelengths of light, as well as a general balance of the rest of the spectrum. And it's not even known how all of these frequencies affect the body. It's known that we need vitamin D. It's known that, for example, red and infrared wavelengths from the sun improve our mitochondrial function. In other words, one could argue that that's actually how we were designed to work, is being exposed to those wavelengths, the near infrared and red throughout the day. Uh-huh. Even if we're in the shade, we're still exposed to the full spectrum. And you know, there's now these red light panels, I'm sure you're familiar with and probably,
sure,
have used before,
sure,
that claim to bring those benefits to people, which they do, but the thing is, it's more like bringing back something we're supposed to have already.
Sure.
And yeah. So just by being indoors all day, one is taking a significant hit to their natural biological functioning.
Yeah. Matt, stay right there. We got to do a quick little break here. Matt Maruca and Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. Robbie Mitchell, he's going to be fun, and we're going to talk to him in a few minutes. He's up in the Dallas area. He's got quite a story to tell, and I think we'll have a good time with him. And this is OneRadioNetwork.com. Well, this whole hydrogen machine, Brown's gas breathing, is really quite fascinating to me. You know, there's been a lot of things have come up and around the bend, exposed to your host here over the last 35 years, doing these kind of shows and looking at natural healing and such, and you know, a lot of gimmicks and stuff. And there's not a great deal of them that have stuck. I would think. Yeah, you know, I think the saunas have certainly stuck, and they're not a gimmick. They've been very, very old, and things like cleansing and coffee enemas, they have stuck. As far as machines, you know, I don't really know of a whole lot of machines that I would spend a couple thousand dollars on. There's people that claim that these Beamer things are just like, you know, they'll save the world, but it's not been my experience. I talking to people who've had them and spent $6,000. My point is that hydrogen that we have been researching now, it's only been a few months, and working with this AquaCure machine, there's definitely something very, very good going on with it. I mean, I can feel it. I'm very sensitive, and I've been breathing the Brown's gas for about 6 to 8 weeks and drinking the bubbled water. And George Wiseman has been working with this for about 30 years, and Dr. Mark Serkis, who's a regular, he's written 2 books on hydrogen, and you can just Google molecular hydrogen and you know there's something up. It's not just a fad. You know, this is a definite thing that people, well, it does go back a long way if you really look at the deep research. So the long and short of it is we have a machine that we're promoting that, and with the promo code, and you'll hear more about it here, but it's, I think it would be a great investment in your health if you have it in the budget, put on a credit card, and it's a lifetime warranty, and then a year's warranty to just send it back if you don't like it, if you don't think it's working. So that's pretty cool. I mean, I don't know how many places do that. Nobody does that. But George is cool, and that's what he does. It's called the AquaCure machine. And this is George here. Did you know the AquaCure Brown's gas machine reduces oxidative stress?
Hydrogen is the world's best antioxidant by a long shot. Hmm. First of all, it's 700 times smaller than something like CoQ10, 400 times smaller than vitamin C, things like that. So it can literally go, the hydrogen molecule can literally go through everything in your body and go right into the very DNA and repair it. First of all, you're repairing oxidative damage, but you're also reducing or eliminating free radicals. Now, we're only the bad free radicals, which is another reason why hydrogen is good, because you actually have free radicals in your body that you want to keep. Example, nitrous oxide.
The oxidative stress, is that the main thing that damages the DNA and causes the regeneration to stop, you know, youthing or getting older, immune organs? Is that at the base, George Wiseman, of most of the issues?
It's one of the
just
bases,
one of them.
But this comes back to that regeneration thing that I was talking about. Mm-hmm. The cells won't regenerate. You won't have stem cells and that sort of thing if you haven't got enough hydrogen.
And if our body is not generating enough hydrogen, we get dehydrated. Dehydrated. Lack of hydrogen. The AquaCure machine, 10% off, promo code OneRadio. Use the promo code OneRadio, 10% off in our store, OneRadioNetwork.com. So I always go back when I hear these kind of things, and when I first heard about it, well, okay, hydrogen, great, but I mean, what in the God world, where would this hydrogen come from? And we actually make the hydrogen in our body, but the system has to be on pretty tight, you know, pretty running pretty well, you know, like almost perfectly with the right kind of bacteria, eating the right kind of foods. Raw foods provide more hydrogen, they say, and some people don't do that well on raw foods just because of their constitution with in Ayurvedic medicine, and they have to cook vegetables and things like that. So this is, I think, just a little thing in our evolution that is going to, you know, help us along the way here as we figure out how to just, you know, just live on sun or something like that.
Starving for vitality, we're turning to energy drinks, stimulants, and pharmaceuticals to try to improve our focus, increase our metabolism, rescue our sex drive, and adapt to the stresses of modern day living. Each year, an elk sheds its impressive antlers, regenerating an even larger set the following year. These velvet antlers have been a revered traditional medicine for thousands of years. Elk antler harnesses the adaptogenic and highly regenerative growth factors from this natural and ethical resource into a concentrated, bioavailable extraction. Its revitalizing effects span bone, muscle, and nerve support, improve metabolism, cellular repair, sexual potency, anti-inflammation, vascular strengthening, and hormone production. Humanely harvested from free-range U.S. elk, extracted in organic alcohol, and protected in Miron glass, our elk antler is available in three strengths to restore your vitality at any level.
Elk Velvet, available at any Thrival Link. And also, guys, you want to maybe try the pine pollen along with that, and that's a real dynamic duo. They also have colostrum, which is a wonderful product, and he's got a great vitamin D product, vitamin DK2. It's from lanolin, all really cool ingredients, no chemicals or anything like that. I mean, Daniel wouldn't use stuff like that. I've known it for 10 years. Everything's in Miron glass. This is top-of-the-line products. If you're going to be spending your money on things like shaga, reishi, pine pollen, elk velvet antler, colostrum, vitamin D, we think some of the very best available in the world. I don't say that lightly either. He's really, really careful about the ingredients and how he makes things. And Easter Thrival Link, OneRadioNetwork.com.
We are listener supported, One Radio Network.
We're with Matt Maruca, young fellow who's doing some really good work, and he's just getting his whole life together. No telling what you'll be doing 50 years from now, Matt. My goodness, holy cow, good for you. Do you ever think about that? Like, say, wow, look what I've learned in just a short while. You know, what's it going to be like 20 years from now or 30 years from
really
now?
If you keep
looking and deeply and digging, and you know, you're going to come up with some pretty fun stuff. So
I want to be like an enlightened sage, I think. That's
a good goal.
Best end product. Yeah, because I figure like during this lifetime, you know, I've already made such great leaps that, you know, I think maybe it's my chance to, you know, if it is true that we're on this cycle of death and rebirth that we can kind of escape from, I figure why not just give it a shot, see how it goes and getting enlightened. And it would make sense that, having got into all this stuff about light, that there is this, you know, that these ideas of enlightenment aren't just some kind of gimmick, that there are actually people who really transcend their body. They just enrich their soul, which even the research I've read over the last few years has led me to believing that they're, you know, coming from being an atheist from a liberal area in Philadelphia, it's led me to believing that we do have a soul and that we actually are a soul. Because there's researchers who studied the electromagnetic properties of the body, both electrical and light, separately, and found that, for example, the thing that leads the best question I ever heard a scientist ask in this book, at least, was why do the cells in the toes become the toes, and why do the cells in the nose become the nose? How do they know where to go and what to be, even though they all cells have the exact same genetic blueprint, you know, right? Why is one the eye and the arm and the hand, and how do they know to be where they are? And so it became clear from the research that it's a electromagnetic structure, that even if one cuts off a hand, or I should say cuts off a fingertip, at least in humans, we can regenerate it because we have this structure that sort of guides that process. And another book on light showed that our cells communicate using UV light, ultraviolet light wavelengths, which kind of blows apart the theory that UV causes cancer, because our cells use it to signal cell division. It's so foundational. And even when we die, our cells actually appear to leak that light based on their testing for basically until the body has leaked all of the light and it's a cold, hard corpse. So it's fascinating.
Several ideas for you, Matt. You're really thinking about some cool stuff. I really support you. I've been looking at this idea of, you know, soul and body and mind for most of my life, and very intently the last 10 years or so in writing a book on it. But, you know, you're on to it. We are soul. You know, we're not the body. We don't have a soul. We're on soul. We are soul. And if you are focused on that this lifetime, there's no doubt that you can. Doubt, trust me, brother, there's no doubt that you can go as far as you want, become a spiritual master, control your body for as long as you want, leave when you want. It's the world is your oyster, so I would just plant that little seed with you, and you're on to it, you know, and just
thank you,
keep reading and keep going inside, you know, to see what's going on, because you're going to get all your juice, as I think you've figured out already in your short time. You get all the real juice and the real information from God, so to speak, right, or spirit. Mm-hmm. That's where it comes in.
Yes,
it's not absolutely from books. Books are fun, but they're just somebody else's idea about the way the world is, and you get to create the way Matt's world is, and that's the game, you know, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's cool. Yeah, you know, go ahead.
Something struck me from your advertisement. I just thought I'd point it out. The Antler sponsorship. It is funny that one of these books I was reading, one of the many studies on the biologic effects of light, it was sort of a compilation, was there was a study done on what was the factor that caused the growth of the antlers of animals like this.
Really?
Yeah. And it was the number of days of sunlight, the number of clear days that determined the changes in, or I should say, the more sunny days a summer had, the longer or the bigger the antlers would be in the annual hunting competitions. This was in the early 1900s or something.
Isn't that
was pretty fascinating. So we can just go out in the sun and receive a tremendous amount of the benefits of what's stored in these antlers, because clearly they're built with the electromagnetic force.
Yeah. Do you think, in your own feeling right now, that there's you got to get out there so much to get everything you're talking about, or do you think we can get what we need in an hour or half an hour or whatever?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So I thought we needed a lot more than we do. I was going out and cooking myself, like getting burned.
Oh, you were?
More sun, and I was ignoring my body's natural, for like a year. Mm-hmm. I was ignoring my body's natural process, like systems for saying when enough is enough,
right,
thinking more would be better. And this was a critical mistake. And so I think it depends. If someone has dark African or Asian or South American skin, then, for example, between the lightest white skin, for example, Irish with orange hair, to the darkest skin, for example, from Somalia, it takes 10 times as long for the darker skin to be able to generate the same amount of vitamin D, because, or we could say the other way around, because evolutionarily it happened the other way around. The person who lost all of their melanin is able to make vitamin D 10 times more quickly because there's way less sun up north.
Yes,
however,
yes,
now that people are migrating out of the tropics and the equatorial regions with darker skin, there's a significant disadvantage there, because it takes way longer to make vitamin D. So people with darker skin require significantly more sunlight to reach a base level. Someone who has white skin is able to get a lot more vitamin D made a lot more quickly. So it really varies, but
It would make sense, though, too. I mean, darker skin people like myself, and I don't know what yours is, but we can just stay out there longer and it doesn't bother us, doesn't burn us, nothing. And the lighter skinned people, Matt, of course, they just can't, you know. So it makes sense that they're getting all they need, right? they're probably getting all they need. You've been traveling around the world. You told me in an email. What are you doing traveling around the world? What's up with that?
Yeah, so, well, I'm 20 years old now, and I finished high school 2 years ago and did what a lot of kids do, which is take a gap year just to sort of see the world and travel.
Really?
And I started my business, so I make and sell the world's, I'd say, best blue light blocking glasses.
Good for you.
But, you know, for regulating the body's circadian rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
And so, thank you. So since I started that during my gap year while I was traveling and was sort of running the business and building the marketing and so on while someone back home was doing some of the shipping and manufacturing, it came to a point where I had an income source and a business that was seemingly viable. And so it didn't make sense for me to go back to college, to university, or not to go back, but to start university while I could continue traveling and meeting some really fascinating people and sort of making the world my school. So I'm sort of like each different country I go to is like a different classroom, and I take them like a semester at a time. So,
good for you. Yeah. And no student loans. It's great, man. Good for you.
Yeah.
I mean, what are they going to, I mean, college is great, but what are they going to teach you, a fellow like you, that you really want to know about? You know, it's just not there in university.
Mm-hmm. Social interaction would probably be,
yeah, but
like
you're getting plenty of that, I'm sure, traveling the world.
Yeah.
So
I watched Footloose yesterday, the new version of that great classic movie, and it just was so inspiring, you know, to see just a young crowd dancing, having fun. I'm thinking that's what life is sort of all about. That's
well, good
really
for you. What is how did you, if you don't mind me asking, there's a lot of our listeners who around the world, and they many more people are kind of looking at doing their own business. Just working for somebody is not a lot of fun. How did you finance this business?
Yeah, I saw your podcast is also focused on wealth. Which
yeah,
is
we do
great.
A lot of that stuff. Yeah, a lot about money.
I have a lot more knowledge on this subject than I actually give myself credit for, starting and operating a business. But it was not financed in any way other than my own landscaping for a summer. So I think I started the business, which is now nearly edging on $1 million in annual revenue, and I started
that's
it
great.
With $1,000 that I made with landscaping, and then I had $10,000 saved in stock accounts from like a stock account from my grandparents giving me money and my mom, and it was maybe supposed to be for like a down payment on an apartment or a car someday. Yeah. And I was like, Mom, come on, there's something here. So I'd say I've done a pretty decent job on return.
I think
on that.
You have. So you had $1 million already, boy. That's brilliant.
Almost, not quite.
That's
more like
good.
Three quarters.
Good,
but,
good
yeah,
for you.
Three quarters is where we are now.
And how long? So you just started small. You started making, but it
yeah.
must have been. To start up and get the glasses made and designed and all that. Talk about that process a little bit. How'd you do that on that little cash?
Yeah, so it was really cool. I owe so much to Dr. Cruz. Really, he has been the greatest mentor and, you know, supporter. Basically, I needed blue blockers that looked good because I was going to parties in high school and wearing these safety goggles, which I'm sure you've seen before. And
so you would wear these things out?
Fly.
You would go to parties with these things?
I would be inclined to, because I didn't want to disrupt my circadian rhythm.
That's
but I would
worst.
End up kind of feeling kind of weird and taking them off. So no, I really wouldn't. What I did is I bought some of the early, one of the first brands called Carbon Shade that made semi-stylish blue blockers, but they weren't stylish. They were still really ugly, and the frames were really low quality. So then what I did, which was what Dr. Cruz had done and several other people did, was I got some lenses and a frame custom made.
Uh-huh.
And this was actually how it started. I met Luke Story. Are you familiar with Luke Story?
I don't know a lot about him, Matt, but I the name is familiar, sure.
Yeah, he's this really cool Los Angeles fashion stylist and podcaster now who's interviewed Dr. Cruz so many times. So I went to an event he was putting up in New York City, because he's from LA, thinking I might be able to meet him and ask if I could go on his podcast, because I was trying to build up a coaching business, a blog, a brand. But then he asked me that night, he said, where'd you guys get, my friend and I went, he said, where'd you guys get those custom glasses? So basically, you know, those blue blockers, I really need one like that. I have this sunglass I want to use and get the lenses in. So I tried to connect him with the company that did the custom tinting and everything for me. And it was a real pain, because they're not really built on doing this. So I just said, you know what, man, I'll do it for you. I learned how to do the tinting recently. And so I actually started with just a Google form, and I had about 60 people fill that out within a few weeks who wanted these custom glasses. And one person said, can you just offer a few fixed styles? And that was really what led me to building a website and creating a brand other than what was originally Matt's Custom Blue Blockers.
Isn't that great?
And then it became clear there was something viable. And so the way I did it was I actually was telling people previously, this is like I used the lean startup method. So the book, The Lean Startup, if someone's interested in this stuff and hasn't read that, it's amazing, an amazing methodology mm-hmm. involving not carrying inventory and not, mm-hmm. Basically not spending all this money into an idea, but building what they call the minimum viable product and testing it. Yes. So initially the minimum viable product was a Google form saying, if you're interested in custom blue blockers, fill it out. And sure enough, I got a bunch of responses and I took the feedback. So it's called, the cycle is build, measure, learn. So I built, I measured kind of just based on what people told me, and I learned that I needed to make a brand and have our own styles. And then what I did is I took the pictures from one of the websites I was referring people to buy frames and send them to me. And I just put them on my own website and said, hey, you know what, I'll just basically do it. And I actually operated it like that for almost a year. And that was pretty cool, because I was almost drop shipping in a sense. Like in the beginning, sure. these people would order and I would order the frame and then get it, tint the lenses. And we were doing it in my garage, tinting these lenses with the proper tint. We bought all the instrumentation for measuring and making sure they blocked the right frequencies, because no one else was doing this at the time with both the proper blocking of frequencies with the proper tint and the proper technology and testing, and doing so with attractive frames. And so that's how it began. And since then, I've moved it out of my garage, I think nearly a year ago now. And so we're only 2 years old, so it was like the first year was there. And now we have, professional optical labs doing actually, it was over a year ago now, but we have professional optical laboratory, basically optical manufacturer, I should say, who makes our glasses and, tests them, verifies them, ships them out and everything. And it's still set up so that I don't have to carry a ton of inventory yet, but we're just verging on the point where I'll be having to bulk up and stock up.
Sure, because you don't want to have the lag time too much when people order, right?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, we've gotten it dialed in where we really don't have lag time now, which mm-hmm. is pretty amazing. But the bigger thing is that I'm not my frames, for example, they're not custom branded. I have to get into getting like proper larger order quantities to do that. But again, I guess the point is that this lean startup method has worked so well to allow me to basically bootstrap from almost nothing to significant revenue. I mean, I'm still reinvesting every dollar into the business, sure, of course.
Sure.
But
oh, that's great. Good job. Really, so the book is, that sounds like a wonderful lead for people who maybe want to do their own business, called Lean Startup. That's the name of the book.
Huh? Yeah. Lean Startup, exactly.
The Lean Startup.
And there's another one I recommend. That one was by a guy who basically built an internet business and spent all this money, millions of dollars or something in investment, and they only to find out that no one wanted what their product was, and they realized they could have spent nothing and figured out their same thing.
Sure.
Anyhow, so then the other one is Tim Ferriss's book, The 4-Hour Workweek. It's just such a, it's like the Bible of how to work online and work remotely. Huh. He just describes that, with the internet, it's the game has changed. We no longer need to be physically attached to our location of where our income is coming from. And that inspired me. I had read these books about 2 years before I started the business on the recommendation of a good friend. And so I had the mindset of, what am I going to do to earn money online for 2 or 3 years? And finally, when the opportunity came, I was prepared to seize it.
You obviously believe with your experience, as short as it is, it's very, very valuable, that this whole idea of blocking blue light is really a trend and something important, and not just some fad that 2 years from now nobody's going to care.
Yeah,
right.
I would say it's a great way to put it would be that it was in fashion, it was in style for 4 billion years, and it's only went out of style for the last 176 or 100 something years.
That's a good way to put it, man. Yeah, it's only, well, it could be. And who knows too, Matt, of how much, as you alluded to earlier, how much this disruption in the mitochondria with the light has contributed to all of the diseases we talked about, for the last 100 years. I mean, how do we know?
Yeah, I mean, Dr. Kruse knows. He would be the number one guy, and it's really shocking, but it seems to be the case that the majority of the diseases, the chronic diseases today, they're all related to mitochondrial dysfunction, as per the work of Dr. Douglas Wallace from Philadelphia. He's a big researcher who's shown that it is mitochondrial dysfunction in these diseases that's occurring. But as far as what's causing that, that's where someone like Dr. Kruse, who is doing his own sort of more forward-thinking research that, for example, peer-reviewed journals and publications, they're not often very open-minded to new ideas. Even this Dr. Doug Wallace, who's working at University of Pennsylvania, he actually told me that he had some there was some questioning, I guess, regarding his career because of the, let's say, edgy work he's doing,
I think it's safe to say, I think it's fair to say that there's so many different factors that are helping the mitochondria to not be happy. And I'm sure the light is, yeah, of course. I mean, we know with EMFs and, you know, just bad food and chemicals and heavy metals and, you know, just a lot of stuff. But so do you wear these guys? And I was looking on your website. By the way, Matt's website is Matt Maruca.com. Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. I couldn't. Yeah. I'm looking at the line in Google there, and it looks weird because it's got a space in between the M and the A. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, Matt.
I actually don't use that website almost at all right now.
Okay, which one do you want to plug?
I will eventually. But the website we have the blue blocking glasses on is Raw Optics. It's raw like the sun god.
Oh, good.
So there's no W. It's RA.
Good name. Good name.
Optics.com.
Did that URL come to you when you? Middle of the night one night, or that's a great name.
Actually, so it was Dr. Kruse was posting about Ra, like just a meme. He said Ra is my ma, like Ra is my mom, basically, and with a picture of himself looking at the sun, and I just had Ra kind of reverberating in my head for a few weeks, and then when I was looking for a company name, it was still reverberating, and so it just kind of put together.
That's a great name, rawoptics.com. Yeah. Got to do a quick little break, stay there.
Previously with Dr. Charles Gant, MD, Sulfur.
I just wanted to say, Patrick, that I heard during the break talking to Dr. Stephanie, I'm a big fan of hers.
Are you really? She's great. This sulfur transferase thing and the glyphosates. Then there's also a genetic predisposition to this as well?
Yes.
Oh. And so, that could complicate matters too for those on GMO foods, huh?
Exactly. But now that we're in this toxic age with the glyphosate and the massive sulfur deficiencies, and generally I recommend a little MSM, 500 milligrams, one twice a day for just about everybody, just to get some basic organic sulfur on board.
Do you feel like it helps them to get some of this yuck stuff out and clean out the trash?
Well, that's the
whole point. Huh?
Well, I can see that sulfur is a conjugator of toxins. Sulfur transferase transfers the sulfur. Sulfur has a love affair with heavy metals and other toxins. So, I mean, I saw that right from the beginning, and so I just assumed that a little bit of sulfur could help just about anybody.
Well, maybe you should take a little every day. You can click an order, Pure Sulfur, right on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com.
And not that it matters to you, but I've been taking sulfur, I guess, pretty much every day. Well, I did go off and on for a while, about a year ago, and I like it better when I take it every day. It's a wonderful product, really. And if you like more than 4 pounds, just email me, and we'll hook you up. Patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. Something that's certainly not a fad that's been around since, well, the beginning of time is sweating. And, of course, the Indians with sweat lodges. And some of the anthropologists, people say that some of the caveman types, and you know, they used to do a similar thing and heat it up and have their own version of sweat lodges. And so many good things happen when the body sweats. And you know, and it's not just the sweat coming out from the body, detoxifying, the chemicals and the stuff in the fat cells, which we know that is, but it's also been proven, and Dr. Cowden talked about it in an interview we did with him, and they've done actual tests through the people that make our sauna, that after 30 minutes in the sauna, you can take a before and after urine analysis of the amount of heavy metals and mercury and lead and stuff that come out, do the sauna for 30 minutes, and then you'll see more pouring out just 30 minutes later, which is just stunning kind of science. Go, whoa, just out of the kidneys and the liver. So there's a lot more going on with saunas than just the sweating through the skin, and that's great. And so that's happening. And then the healing from the far infrared light, and it's real. The one that we've been promoting for 12 years now, it's the Relax Far Infrared Sauna. The Relax Far Infrared Sauna. And it's won several awards, made in Taiwan Medical University. Low EMFs, they got some magnetic stuff that comes up to the bottom of the chair, but you're cool. You're going to be fine when you get that much driving in your car. So don't worry about that. But just email me. We have a special deal on it. We're allowed to sell this if we just do it orally and not in print. $9.95, delivered in the lower 48. The Relax Far Infrared Sauna, $9.95. Shoot me an email and we'll get one to you. And if you live in anywhere in the world, we ship them all over the world, and they'll come with the right plug, and it's only a couple hundred bucks extra to get it to you if you live over in the UK, for example.
We talk about your health, wealth, and well-being on OneRadioNetwork.com.
Well, Matt Marika, you're a good man. You're really on the road to something exciting this lifetime. Good for you. Before we go, I'm kind of curious. So here you are, 20 revolutions around the sun. I mean, you know, that's great. And you're doing all this stuff. And you got your own business. And you really... Well, what's it like, the people... I mean, I'm sure you have a different crowd now, but... you guys, are you millennials? Is that the right term, millennials?
You're millennials? That's funny. Technically, I think I'm Generation Z.
Oh, you're a Z guy. Okay. So what about the kids your age? I mean... Do you relate to them? Talk a little bit about what you see going on around the world to 20 to 30-year-olds.
I am so glad you asked that question.
I'm real curious what's going on.
It's the most important question. I wouldn't have thought to even bring it up. But today I'm concerned because I actually numb myself off to my concern largely because of how concerned I am, but especially when I look down a generation to my little brother who's about 3 years younger, and then the generations below. Any parent who hears, who hears this might relate to this, but younger kids are having huge amounts of behavioral issues. Like it's off the charts in elementary schools and stuff today. But my generation being slightly less affected, so where they're going is I don't even want to know right now. Right. This is why this is such a big issue. But my generation has been slightly less affected. Most of my cohort, my peers are definitely, addicted to mobile devices. And this happens, based on my understanding, because when we don't have sunlight, we don't make all of our proper reward hormones and neurotransmitters, I should say, like we are designed to. And so then there's this, any substance actually becomes more appealing when we're not in the sun, which is, again, the way we optimize these processes naturally. And so, for example, it's an opioid crisis, I believe it's called.
We're just kind of short on time. I want you to go more into where you were going. So you've seen a lot of addiction, I think it's obvious, with the cell phones. And what else? I mean, what about their spiritual outlook, their outlook on life? Positive? And or what are they thinking?
I think people are just generally not very connected to spirituality. Suicide overtook. Car accidents is the number one killer in teenagers not too long ago. So people are there's lots of depression, lots of anxiety. My peers in university, all they do is get pissed drunk. And so this is why I think the light diet, which is my sort of way of teaching these ideas, I call it the light diet. I think it's really important because I think my peers will slowly kind of wake up to this, a lot of them, but maybe only after the damage is to some extent irreversible.
Sure. Well, lots of times it happens like that. Have you seen any difference in, you've traveled a lot around the world, say with the United States and other countries?
Yeah, that's amazing. When I was in Europe, I went on a foreign exchange to Bosnia and Herzegovina when I was 16, because I didn't like where I was and I was depressed as I was going through this journey. I wanted to try something new. And yeah, I was just struck by how much healthier the people over there looked, being in an ex-Yugoslav republic where they were a little bit further back on their technology, but especially their food was so much better quality right off the land. Yeah. And they spent a ton of time walking outdoors. It's like an outdoor European walking city like most of them. So I find that Europeans in general, the proportion of really attractive women my age I would say is just significantly higher, and just
good
it's,
for
it's
you.
Just worth it's worth observation. It's worthy of observation for reasons beyond just that it's, you know, visually appealing and so on, and nice to be around beautiful people. And there's so many fewer overweight people. It indicates, I believe, that there's something really different about the way they're living. And to me, it's clear as day that it's the American way that we live indoors in our houses, and then we get into our cars, because most American cities and most population is driving everywhere a lot of the time, at least in the suburbs and cities and whatnot, and or the subway. We're underground, we're in our car, and then we get into our office, and we're basically always away from the sun, whereas the Europeans, you know, they still don't get tons of light, and they still have high rates of diseases like we're facing today, but at least they walk a lot more, so they're out just several hours more on average per day, I believe. And then on the weekends, they might sit out and have a coffee at a cafe. They're just outdoors. You know, they might not be directly sunbathing, but there's still a huge benefit to be had just by being outside.
Sure, yeah. Well, you know, the young kids at your age who aren't as enlightened as you are, you know, they're going to figure it out somewhere along the line, Matt, you know. And those that don't, they'll just come back and try it again.
Of course. I hope so. I have I don't connect very much with most of my peer group, but there are plenty of people who I meet who are very good individuals with very good hearts. So it's not like it's totally doomed. There's still lots of really amazing people out there.
Well, and it's been said, and it's true, that the true spiritual seeker, those who are really into becoming enlightened and connecting with divine spirit, it can be a lonely path sometimes, because a lot of folks they're just not ready to have that focus, and so it can be a little bit lonely, but you'll be fine. I'm sure you're going to be fine. Well, congratulations on your work, and so your eyeglasses, they look great, and it's Raw Optics.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's just R-A. I'm sorry. It's not R-A-W.
Yeah, Raw, like the sun god.
Oh, like sun god. Sorry, I missed that part. Sorry, that's
no worries.
Even better. Raw. I like it. Raw Optics. Oh, like the sun god, Raw. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Okay, now where are you off to next? So you're in Mexico, and where are you off to?
I'm in Mexico, and my plan is to stay here for the next, I don't know, 3 to 6 months or even longer if I find and build a community and so on. Dr. Cruz talks about this place being very optimal for health because there's an asteroid, apparently the asteroid that caused the extinction of the dinosaurs, or the last major extinction event, was it struck this Yucatan Peninsula area. And so apparently there's an increased strength in the Earth's magnetic field here, which is known to be very health-giving. There's lots of, you know, resources on the internet. But for example, places like with volcanoes such as Hawaii, or certain mountains or volcanoes in Africa. I told this to them, and they said, that's so funny, because I was hiking in Africa on this volcano, and they told us the magnetism is very good for the body. So it was just a funny coincidence. Yeah. Someone else knew about that independently. So my aim is to try Dr. Cruz's theories that this is the final frontier, the next level, and I want to see how that affects me. I want to see if I can't reverse some of the food sensitivities that still remain with me from my younger days, which I haven't fully cleared up.
Sure.
So,
and what city are you in Mexico?
I'm going to be in probably Tulum.
Tulum? Hmm.
Just a little bit south. Yeah, Tulum, T-U-L-U-M. It's about an hour and a half drive south of Cancun.
Oh, it's pretty there.
Yes, it's amazing. It's so luscious and green, even though there's not much soil. The soil doesn't go deep because it's sort of a limestone basin that somehow emerged from the ocean with the asteroid. I don't know all the geology of how it happened, but even with such a thin layer of soil to grow in, the trees and everything here is so luscious, which leads me to believe that Jack is really onto something about how life-giving this area may be. So I'll see. I'll let you know how it is. Yeah. And you're in Austin. Are you around Austin,
I'm in Dripping
Texas?
Springs.
You said Hill Country?
I'm in Dripping Springs, right, about an hour outside, Matt.
Great.
Hour west of Austin. I'm sure you spent a lot of time, some time in Austin, right?
I have, yeah. I was just there for actually 3 weeks, just a week ago. So I'll have to let you know next time.
Yeah,
please do.
I'd love to hook
town.
Up. We'll have some lunch, yeah. Let me know.
That would be great.
All right, kiddo. Thanks a lot. You're doing great, and you take care of yourself.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it, and God bless you.
Yeah, may the blessings be to you. Bye-bye. That's very nice. Wow, what a young, nice young fellow, huh? My goodness.
See, there's hope in the world. You have kids like that out there. God. $1 million business already, and he's 20. It's cool. Let's see. I just got a little look. Dr. Fit may be a few minutes late. Oh, he's ready now. Oh, great. Okay. Well, let's start the show, and we'll Skype him, and this is going to be fun.
We are listener support.